It's Mike Twain of Crawford Media Group, joined by Liz Frenzel, our trusty interview, what we call you, our trusty interview co-partner.
Extraordinaire.
Very good. Soon to be Liz. What are we going to call it?
Life with Liz.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. And we're joined by Noelle Yates. Noelle is the author of both Living Outside Either Or of Your Faith. And Noelle, thanks for taking the time with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about the book and the title, too, so that people understand the title, what the meaning is, and why you wrote the book.
Yeah, I would love to. And to do that, I'd tell you a little bit of, you know, about my history and what I do. But really, the reason that I wrote this book is because one of the greatest tragedies that really I see in Christianity today is this belief that a person's spiritual condition is all that matters to God, that maybe saving souls for heaven is more important than bringing God's kingdom to life here on earth. The idea that Jesus cared more about salvation counts than justice and healing, and that loving our neighbors has become more of a mission trip we take once a year and not a lifestyle that I believe we're called to embody every day. It sort of puts the physical and spiritual against each other, like they're not part of the same team, but more like options on a Christian menu that we have to choose from. And one becomes humanitarianism and the other becomes missions. It becomes this either or. And the truth is, I believe the power is found in both, just like the title of the book. That's what the book's really about. And I ask the questions like, what if we didn't have to choose? What if it really could be about both? Because throughout my life and in my work, I've seen firsthand how the combination of meeting people's physical and spiritual needs is really what transforms people. I've seen how the power of both help and hope changes everything. And that's really the message I want to share with others.
So Noelle, you traveled a lot. You could tell us basically how that transpired. Most of it, it sounds like early adult years or before. And then World Help, that organization kind of fed into this too. Give us the background on that.
Yeah, that's right. My dad, Vernon Brewer, actually started World Help a little more than 30 years ago. But way before that, my dad was always involved in missions and started taking me on that journey with him when I was just 12 years old. So I was exposed to this work at a really early age and traveled the world, saw the needs firsthand. And then when he started World Help, I joined him in that and worked with him and worked in every aspect of the organization. And in the fall of 2019, I took over for him, and I'm now leading the organization that he once started. But World Help is really based on this model that I talk about in the book, that we believe that without things like food and clean water and medicines that our body needs, well, then faith means very little. But without that faith that really feeds our souls, then everything else is just a short-term fix. But it's when you focus on both body and soul that true transformation happens in people's lives. And we have seen that over and over again all around the world. We're now more than 30 years old. We've seen more than 80 million lives impacted around the world in the years that we've been doing this work.
Noelle, what you said about spiritual and physical, that is exactly what Jesus did. So
right.
when he went around, he saw the physical and he healed that. And not only that, he did spiritual work also. And
yes,
that is what brought the people to believe in him. And that is, I believe,
right,
why he got such a huge following everywhere he went, even though he had opposition. Tell us about more about what it looks like for you to do that, besides the, you know, medicine and whatnot, because that is important. God calls us to take care of our bodies, right?
Yeah, I love how you put that. I couldn't agree more. A few things I would add is there's this quote I love to share by an African head of state, and he said, you can't do health care to dead people. You can't educate dead people. You can't minister to dead people. You have to have them alive first. Another partner of ours told us that hunger has no religion. And, you know, I have just found that when people have what they need to live another day, then deeper hungers emerge. A hunger for belonging, a hunger for community, a hunger for God's word and his ways. And I believe that both hungers matter to God, and both hungers should matter to us. And you're exactly right. This is the way that Jesus lived and loved. And one of the stories I love found in Mark is the woman with the bleeding disorder. And we know this story, how she had suffered for 12 years, and she reaches out with such courage just to touch the cloak of Jesus's robe, and thinking that she might get rebuked for that. Instead, Jesus responds to her, heals her. And the words found in Mark 5:34 when he says, "Go with peace in your heart and free from suffering." Peace in your heart and free from suffering. And I love that, because I think that's such a great example of the help and hope of both that I'm talking about. And really my prayer for every person that I encounter around the world, every person in need, and really should be the prayer for every follower of Christ, that the people we encounter would leave us with peace in their heart and freedom from their suffering, that they would leave us with both.
Yeah, that's a very good point and very well said. I think the listeners can relate to that, because it's not only the mission field that you affect. I read in your about your book that it is where we live. It could be the neighbor across the street. It could be the person at the store needing, you know, help with their cart to push to their car, whatever that might be. That is living Jesus here on earth, bringing the kingdom to the people who are in front of us.
Right. That's right. And what you just said made me think of something. You know, there's World Health is involved in so many crises around the world. If there's a crisis happening, you can pretty much bet that we are there on the front lines doing what we can to help meet those needs. But it also means, you know, that it's easy to get overwhelmed, because in the world we live in right now, it literally seems like we wake up every morning to a new crisis, right? And I remember I found myself in the middle of the pandemic, where every partner that we serve around the world was in desperate need at the same time. And it was so overwhelming trying to be a resource and meet those needs. And then at the same time, every morning I felt like I woke up and it was something new, you know, in the middle of a pandemic. And I remember one day especially feeling really overwhelmed. I'm watching the TV like all of us did as those horrific events unfolded in Afghanistan. I'm watching people grab onto the outside of planes. You know, they're so desperate as the planes are taking off. And I remember I just kind of quietly said under my breath, like, "Jesus, can you just come quickly?" Because it just felt like too much. And I think one of the problems is, as we see this new crisis every day, it is overwhelming. And I think in times like this, well-meaning, good people of faith say things like, you know, "We just have to remember that this isn't our home." And I'm sure I've said stuff like that, because it does help in times like that to remember that this isn't our forever home and that we know where we're going. But I think sometimes when we make comments like that, we inadvertently say to people in need that your pain is not my problem, because after all, I have heaven to look forward to. But while it is true that this is not our forever home, it is our home right now. And I believe God is calling us to restore hope now in the world that we live in, to bring his kingdom to life here on earth.
I completely agree. However, not everyone will be able to travel to every other country and have the experiences that you have. So give our readers a little bit of insight as to what that can look like here at home, besides, you know, the offering the help to help somebody across the street. You know what I mean?
No, totally. And that's a big part of the foundation of this book. And in the beginning of the book, I write about this moment that I had overseas on a trip in recent years, and just this unsettled feeling that I had related to missions. And I come from a long line of ministry and people involved in missions, and I'm very proud of that, love the work. But I just felt like this word missions had sort of been hijacked a little bit and had come to mean something that I didn't see. And I wrote this quick essay, if you will, on my phone, and I called it the end of mission. And the first phrase was, I'm on a mission to end missions. And you'd have to read more to sort of to see where I went with that, because obviously I lead a Christian missions organization. But to get to your point, I think some of that unsettledness that I was feeling was because of how we had begun to define this word. We've made it a choice. It only applies to people maybe who do travel or have interest in traveling or different cultures. We've isolated it to missions emphasis week at our church. And it's just become this choice versus a lifestyle that I believe we are called to live. Like you said before, the way that Jesus modeled it for us. And to me, it has very little to do with traveling overseas and more of how you live your life in your own community and your backyard and your neighborhood, in our churches, and yes, around the world. But it's a call to love people, not necessarily to travel overseas.
Noel, it's Mike. And with our couple minutes left, then what does that look like in our churches for people that Liz and I were out in, you know, Brighton, Colorado, or Denver, or, you know, some community surrounding the Denver area? What do we do, and what do we talk to our church, you know, the folks in our church about too, including the pastors?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, I would say that there is a way to touch the world right from where you are, wherever you are, and that's really the message of World Help. We are on the front lines around the world. If there is a crisis, we are there, and we would love to partner with you. We partner with individuals and churches all across the country and really give people an opportunity to be on the front lines providing that help and hope. And you can do the same things in your own community. You know, we're involved right now in the fires in Maui, the storms that hit Florida. So it's not just international, it's domestic. And I think in churches in your own community, you can also meet those same needs with help and hope. And I think the important thing to remember is whatever needs you're meeting, to meet the needs of the whole person and to know that meeting the needs of the body and the soul at the same time is when true transformation happens. And I believe as people of faith, that is what we are called to do. And when we meet needs that way, that's how we change the world. One of the big things I'd love to share that we're doing right now is our work in Ukraine and with the refugee crisis. And I think this is an opportunity for people really to get involved. And I've had so many stories of people there on the ground that I've met, refugees, women fleeing for their lives with their children, leaving husbands behind. And I've really seen this message of help and hope come alive in their stories. You know, a mom I remember I met on my last trip, and she was talking about when she was in Ukraine and the bombs would go off, she would bring her kids to the hallway of her apartment building where she thought they would be safe. And she said she would pray the Lord's Prayer over them over and over and over again. And she said, my kids didn't know the Lord's Prayer, she said, but they know it now. And that's just one example of so many stories I could tell you, and the opportunity we have to come alongside those people with help and hope. And I think one of the messages I would like to get across to people, of whether it's needs in your own hometown or around the world in a refugee crisis like the Ukraine, is don't get overwhelmed by the numbers. It is so easy to get overwhelmed when every morning we wake up to a new crisis. But we can always focus on the one person that we can help. One of my favorite quotes by Mother Teresa was, if I look at the masses, I will never act. But if I look at the one, I will. And we always have an opportunity to help one person.
Noel Yates, President of World Help. Noel, thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.